Praise God. Amen. Just remain standing a moment. Amen. God is faithful and good to us this morning. We give him praise and glory. He is a good, good guy. That was awesome, guys. Acoustic, man, that is, yeah, let's give the Lord a good hand clap for that. Amen. Man, that is fantastic. You guys are amazing, amazing. Man, so good, so talented. Don't you appreciate good music? Amen. And gifted players that just serve the Lord. And man, that is just great stuff. Proverbs 4:7. Let's put this up in the King James this morning. Proverbs 4:7. Amen. We're going to continue talking about wisdom this morning. Wisdom is the principal thing. The principal thing. Therefore, get it. Get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Amen. God desires us to get wisdom, to have wisdom. Believe it or not, you already have wisdom in you. In fact, believe it or not, you already have, and I pray you do believe it, you have the mind of Christ, the Bible says, in your spirit today. Amen? Let's hold up our Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, give somebody a virtual high five and say, I have the mind of Christ. How about you? Amen. Wow. You know, we want to see, I don't know about you, but I want to see general transformation, genuine transformation taking place in not only my life, but in the lives of others. You know, I want to see transformation changing into everything that God has for me on the inside. Amen? That my soul lines up, my mind, my will, and my emotions line up with everything that God has for me. Amen? True change, listen to me, true change takes place when we yield ourselves to the known will of God. To the known will of God. When you yield yourself to the known, or listen to me, the revealed will of God, then change can take place. Because change takes place when we know something. Amen? When we see something. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this wisdom thing, because wisdom, the wisdom of God, is the revealed word of God operating and functioning in our lives. I don't know about you, but I desire that revealed word of God functioning and operating in my life, because I know when I apply that and I have that in my life, it leads me into peace. It leads me into prospering. It leads me into all areas that God has for me. So I desire that operating in my life. The trouble is, many people do not realize or understand what God's will is and how to apply it to their life. And if you don't understand what God's will is, it's very hard to apply it to your life. Would you agree with that? But when you understand, or you have a revelation of what God's will is in your life, then you can apply it to your life and you can receive everything that he's already given you already. A lot of people don't know that God has everything prepared for them already. It's a finished, it's a done deal, it's already there. But you got to know it's already there. So the other day, I have a little flashlight that I use, and I was out at the hangar, and I was looking for the flashlight. I couldn't find it. I thought, man, I looked in all my drawers, all my tools, every place I was looking, you know. And so this morning, we were getting ready and pulled out a drawer, and I didn't think that flashlight was in that drawer. And Holly said, what's this? It's amazing how women find things. They have that, you know. What's this? I said, oh, my gosh, I've been looking for that. It had been there all the time. In fact, I stuck it there. That's where I placed it. It's been there all the time. But until I opened the drawer, or she opened the drawer, and it was revealed to me, I didn't know it was there. The Holy Spirit is the agent that reveals to us God's known will in our life. And the Bible says that we have the Spirit of Christ within us. God wants to reveal to you his will so that you can partake of everything that he has supplied. He desires you to really know. He wants us to know. God doesn't want to keep us in the dark. In fact, he says, you are the light of the world. So we should be shining what we know to others so that they can know and participate in all that we enjoy and all that we have. But you've got to know what it is, and it has to be revealed to you. Now, if you're new and you kind of say, well, what is he talking about? Let me try to give you an example. How many of you ever read a scripture and you've read it 100 times, but all of a sudden on that 101st time, something came alive to you? Has anybody ever done that? We've all done that if you've been around. Well, when that came alive to you, that was the Holy Spirit revealing God to you and revealing his will to you out of the Word of God. You see, a lot of people today don't believe that it's God's will to heal them because they've never experienced a revelation knowledge of it's God's will to heal you. And so they don't walk in what God has for them. And in fact, if you're a believer today, at one point, the Bible says over in Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, that the Holy Spirit, when the word of faith was preached to you, the word of faith was preached, the Holy Spirit took that word and illuminated it to your heart, and you opened up your mouth and say, wow, wow, God loves me. Amen. God cares about me. And all of a sudden it became so real to you that you received Christ into your life, into your heart, because you spoke it, you believed it, and you acted upon it. How did you act upon it? By simply believing and speaking it. So we need this revelation knowledge operating in our lives at all times. We need the wisdom of God, because what it is, really, it is the wisdom of God operating in our lives. The revelation knowledge is God's wisdom operating in our lives, showing us exactly who we are, what we have, and how to apply it in our lives. Man, that is good stuff. And God has given us the Spirit, hallelujah, in our lives to agree with his word, to be a witness with his word of what we have in Jesus Christ. And man, he has given us everything. Everything in this life that pertains to life and godliness, God has already provided and given to us, but we need to know what he has given to us so that we can partake of everything he's given to us. Man, I like partaking of it, don't you? Praise God. Aaron did a great job yesterday. He talked about the table set before us. Amen. We have a table set before us. Amen. The psalmist says we have a table prepared even in the presence of our enemies, that we can come and dine, we can come and eat. Jesus said, come and dine, come and eat. Amen. God's got a table already prepared for you with every need that you have placed on that table. And the only thing you have to do is partake of it by faith and receive what God has for you. So, the rhema word, the voice of God, the voice of wisdom, God desires that to operate in our lives on a daily functioning basis so that we can enjoy everything God has for us in this life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you pitifully. Broken, disgusted. No, he's come to give you life. How did he come to give you life? More abundant. That word means superabounding. Superabounding life. God desires each of us to live a superabounding life. We are to provoke the Jewish nation to jealousy because of all the blessings that we have upon us in Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? That's why I'm amazed when people want to go back under the law and live under that. Why would you want to live under that when you got all this? Man, wow, this boggles my mind. But God has got so good for you, and so abundance for you, and so many blessings for you and your family. Let's go over to James chapter 1. James talks a little bit about wisdom, and I want us to look at this a couple different ways because, you know, some people never let the Word of God get in the way of what they believe. You just need to write that down somewhere. It's amazing how many things have started, how many cults, how many stuff has started around the world, even in Christendom so-called, that is not based in Scripture. Not based in Scripture. If you take a text out of context, all you have is the con. You can't do that. That is not revelation knowledge. Scripture, listen to me, needs to interpret Scripture. You need to have basis on what you're building your foundation on. That basis needs to be sure, birthed out of the Spirit, birthed out of rhema, birthed out of life to you, but you need to make sure that you're matching that with what else is in the Word of God. Turn to somebody and say, that's real good preaching, whether you believe it or not, but that's really good, right? Because, you know, you don't want to get off track. You don't want to fall in a ditch somewhere and start believing something that is erroneous just because it's popular or other people believe it. Amen? You want to believe what the Word of God tells you and teaches you. How many want to believe that? I want to believe that, don't you? Because I know that's where all the blessings of God are flowing, amen? And I want to believe, and I just believe what God says about His Word, and I want it to apply into my life. So James 1, look what he says. James, let's go to the very beginning because this is so good, amen? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad, greetings. We're going to read this in this translation. Then we're going to go to the Message translation because I want to show you a couple things here, all right? Greetings. Let's go on next verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. The actual word there is trials. Count it all joy when you're going through stuff. When you're going through stuff, count it all joy. Come on. Turn to somebody and say, you complaining Christians. Come on. I don't know what happened to that. I should still have it. I used to have a sign, hung it in my office, and when people would come in, that's the first thing they would see is this sign, and it says, thou shall not whine. I loved it, amen? My brethren, count it all joy. Put it in your bank account. That's what it means. Put this in your bank account when you go through different trials. Divers means various kinds of trials. In this world, there is going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties that we face. There's going to be times we don't know how to pray, the Bible says. When you don't know how to pray, it's when you pray in your spirit. And when you're praying in the spirit, you're praying in the will of God. Just want to give you a little hint on that right there, right? So there's all types of trials. Turn to somebody and say, just don't manufacture them for yourself. Right? So let's go on, next verse, because I want to go down through this. I've got a lot to share with you, and I want you to get this morning. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith work patience. Knowing this, that's why we count it all joy, because when we're in it, our faith is working. When we're in it, our faith is being employed. With endurance. Now, I'm going to show you this out of the Message. Go on. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. When faith is employed, faith is activated in our lives, things begin to work, things begin to change, we have endurance to endure it, and at the end of the result is we're filled with the promises of God, we lack nothing. That's good, man. Next verse, amen. And if you lack wisdom, if you don't understand what's going on, you don't understand how to apply this, you don't understand what to do in that situation, that's when you need revelation knowledge, wisdom on how to handle that situation out of God's word. It could be a relationship, it could be a financial situation, it could be all types of different things you might be going through. It might be as easy, who do I go to repair my car? I don't know about you, but I want the wisdom and revelation of God on that. And I'm going to tell you how we get that and receive it in a few minutes, and who I even take my car to. Amen? That giveth to all men, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. God's not stingy when it comes to revelation knowledge. He wants us to have it, amen? Unbraideth it not, and it shall be given, and it shall be given him, amen? So he said, let him ask, next verse. But let him ask how? In faith. Faith is a prerequisite to receiving revelation knowledge. And nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Listen to what he says. Next verse. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. All right, y'all got this so far? Let's go back and look at this, because I want to help your prayer life here a little bit as well. James chapter 1, 7. Can we put that up in the message now? Praise the Lord. I, James, am a slave of God and the Master Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered. They were scattered to kingdom come. Hello. I dig this translation. It's kind of just right there, right? Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Has anybody ever been there? Come on, has anybody ever been there? Wow. All sides, right? Look at this. I love this. You know that under pressure, faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Faith life, rhema life, standing on the promise that's been revealed to you during this trial that you're going through, you're not giving in, but you're standing on the promise. Even when the pressure is applied to your flesh, you're constantly remaining the same on the word of God, not getting off of it, but knowing what God has said to you. Because when you receive a rhema word in your spirit, you know that word is sure. You can take that to the bank, and it's going to come to pass. So the pressure might be applied to your flesh, but you're standing on the promise, remaining the same, and your faith life is showing. Amen and amen. It shows its true colors. Now listen to this. This is so good, man. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. In other words, don't try to work it out on your own. Hello. Come on, anybody ever been there? Oh my gosh, man. Have I tried to work things out on my own? Has anybody ever tried to fix people? I love people, man. I want people to be fixed. God told me you can't fix them. I said, man, that's too bad. Amen. Man, I really do. When people are in trouble, when they're hurting, you know, I have a pastor's heart. And you know, I pray for people, and I see someone missing. I'll go to somebody. Have you seen them? Have you spoken with them? What's going on in their life? You know, I pray for people. A lot of times I don't talk a lot on the phone or get out. I just go to prayer for them, and I just say, hey, Lord, thank you, God. You've got this worked out for them. He said, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. In other words, don't get over in the flesh. Stay in the spirit. Let it do its work. Let the spirit, let the word, let faith do its work so you become mature. Isn't that a good thing? Well developed. Listen to me. Not deficient in any way. When faith is employed and doing its work, and you have a word of God on this, what happens? All of a sudden, you become mature on that word. You become developed in that word. And what happens is you're not going to be deficient in any way. Why? Because faith always works, and faith always wins. on the Word of God. Turn to somebody and say, that's really good, Pastor. Amen. Next verse, amen. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. He loves to help us. He desires to help. He wants to pour into us knowledge. He wants to pour out into us wisdom. But sometimes we just don't ask. And sometimes when we do ask, we ask amiss. James said this later on, right? He said, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get His help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. That's a good daddy, isn't it? That's a good daddy, man. Amen. No condescension, no condemnation, no guilt. That's a good, good father. He is so good. Hallelujah. Look at this next verse. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. Here's what happens. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. What happens? We get a word on something. We get a rhema word on something, and then pressure is applied with us. The doctor says something. Someone else says something. The enemy comes and says something to us. Your husband says something. Your wife says something. Pressure continues to be applied to us, applied to us, applied to us. You know, we've asked believingly. But then we have a second thought. And we go back and we ask again. And then we have a third thought. And we go back and we ask again. And then we have a fourth thought. And we go back and we ask again. And then we have a fifth thought. And we go back and we ask. Then we have a sixth and we go back. And then we have a seventh and we go back. And we have an eighth and we go back. And we have a ninth and we have a tenth and we have a 11th. People who worry their prayer are like wind-whipped waves. They're in a frantic, right? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Oh, it's good. Do you know anybody like that? I know people that pray again and 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 again about the same thing. And again and again and again and again and again. Next verse. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. Church, when we receive a rhema word, we stand on that word, right? Amen. That word, we know it's for us. That word is for me. Thank you, God, for that word. Now, listen to me about this. Well, let me go on a little bit further here because I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to understand this. When we receive a word, we stand on that word, right? We thank God for that word. Amen. We go to the Father and we say, thank you, Jesus. We know this is already done, completed in your name. Amen. When you have the assurance that it's already completed, already done, you don't have to go back again. It's people who do not have the assurance of the word that they badger God over and over again trying to move God and not realize God's already moved, God's already answered, and it's already done. That's why I said, don't be a double-minded person. A double-minded person is someone that received the word of God and they pray and they ask God, thank you, God, I got a revelation on this. Hallelujah. And then they go back and they take it again and again and again. Or then they start calling things about it. Well, that's my headache. I've had my headache for a long time. I've had my arthritis for a long time. I've had my heart trouble for a long time. Don't call what is not yours. Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't start calling what doesn't belong to you. Amen. Because that doesn't belong to you. as a believer, those things don't belong to you. Well, that's just the way my job goes. I get fired every time. No wonder you get fired every time. Amen? Your attitude stinks to begin with, right? So get a new attitude. Have the attitude of Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Have such confidence in God that when you ask it, you know it's done. When you say it, you know it's completed. When you speak it, you know you can walk away from it and lay it down because it's going to come to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the kind of faith God desires us to live in, because that's what he's done in the completed work. Because when it's already done, the only thing you have to do is already rest. And you're not restering, badgering God all the time with the same thing. God, will you fix my bicycle? God, I got this headache again. My headache, my bicycle, my problems. I can't tell you over the years how people have taken things as their own that never should belong to them. I hear it. I was walking the other day and somebody said, that's my cancer. Doctor says my cancer. And I'm thinking, we had a young lady, she's new to Karis yesterday. Now sometimes I just operate in the prophetic, and I just say things because I blurt them out throughout my heart, and it's really for a concern for people. Hello? It's not to be offensive. I love people, but I just want them to understand the light that they should have and walk in. And this person was talking yesterday, and she said, my arthritis. I stood up in the back of Karis yesterday. I said, no! That's not yours. It's Jesus. He took it 2,000 years ago. Why do you want to take it back? And she received it. I love when people receive. Amen. It's like, whoa, she received it. And we just reached over, started ministering and praying for her. Amen. And releasing words of life and faith in her. Amen. Don't receive what is not yours. Receive what is yours by the revelation of God. Amen. All that promises, as I said this morning, are yes and amen. So be it. Through you, you are the amener to the yes. Oh, turn to somebody and say, that is really good. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, the wisdom we receive from the Holy Spirit is far greater wisdom than from the world. Far greater wisdom for the world. Clear instruction and direction from the Holy Spirit will bring peace into your life. If it's not full of peace, it's not a rhema word from God. If it's not full of peace, don't receive it. If someone comes to you with a personal prophecy, and let me try to for you to understand what I'm saying here. If someone comes to you and says, hey, I've got a word from God, and all of a sudden they speak that word and it doesn't bring peace into your life, reject that word immediately. They may be a good person. You don't have to reject the person, but you can reject the word that came from that person. And listen to me. I don't believe there should be anything as personal prophecy. Some may give you a word personally, but you have permission to go to others and say to them, hey, I received this word. What do you think about this? And then if it doesn't line up with the word, reject it. Turn to somebody and say, it's not that hard. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians 3:15. God, you're so good. Oh, I'm sorry. Go to James 3:17. James 3:17 in the Amplified. Because this is what James said about wisdom and how wisdom operates. I want you to see this real quick this morning. Are you all still with me? Talking about Raymond Word. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. God ain't going to tell you to do anything that's not pure. That's not holy. That's not righteous. God ain't going to tell you, hey, you're a little broke today. Go down there to Fifth Third and rob it. Oh, I got a word from God. Hallelujah. No, no, man. God is not going to tell you that. I don't believe God will tell you to play the lottery. Your chances aren't too good. I'm not going to condemn you if you do. If you play the lottery right now, just close your ears. Don't listen to me. But listen to me. Poor people play the lottery, take a chance. Blessed people know they are blessed by God, and He can cause more to come into them, and it'll always be secure. Because when poor people play the lottery and automatically get rich, they still haven't changed their poor ways. And statistics says within a few years, they'll be right back to where they are because they spent all they had. Just a word, man. Amen. Take your $2 and give it to Jesus. Sow it somewhere. I think I'll be way better off, right? Or five or whatever it costs there. Amen. But the wisdom from... I love you. Turn to somebody and say, He loves you. Well, Pastor, if I win the lottery, I'll build the church. Hallelujah, I'll take it. Amen. Praise God. You win, I'll take it. Praise God. Hey, $1.5 million, that's not too bad. Praise God. We'll take it. Go ahead, sell it into the kingdom. Amen. You will be blessed then, I guarantee it. Praise the Lord. He's good. But the wisdom from above, I'll be blessed. I know that. Amen. But the wisdom from above is, first of all, what? Pure. Then it is peace-loving. There's peace in God's wisdom. There's loving in God's wisdom. It's courteous. It's considerate. It's gentle. It's always willing to yield to reason. That's why you never keep a closed mind on something. Oh, I got a revelation on this. Be open still. God's got fresh revelation for us. Come on. If I had closed my mind 15 years ago, I would have never been open and understood the fullness that God has already given to me in His finished work. I'd still been in the dark. I'd still been preaching condemnation. And y'all get right with God right now. Hallelujah. Get down the altar and repent. Cry. If you ain't crying, you ain't repenting. Come on, some of you have been to some services like that. Don't look, like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. Yeah, I've been there, right? Amen. Oh, my gosh, man. Thank God. It's like a parachute. It only works when it's open. That's how your mind is. You got to have an open mind. If you don't have an open mind, you won't change, but you got to be careful what you open your mind to. And you better check it with the Word when you do have an open mind to make sure what the Word is saying to you, so you have the rhema of God, the wisdom of God on, so you can enjoy the fullness of all that God has for you. It is willing to yield to reason. In other words, be willing to change. Be willing to change your position. Don't be so dogmatic on something that the Holy Spirit is trying to change you to get you to see this, and you're just stuck there. Bounce it off of others. Most of all, bounce it off the Word of God. Bounce it off the Word. Amen? Yield to the reason, full of compassion, good fruits. It is wholehearted. It's full of good fruits. It is wholehearted, straightforward, impartial, unfringed, free from doubts, wavering, and... God is so good, isn't He? That's God's wisdom operating in our lives. That is God's wisdom. Colossians 3:15, let's put this up in the Amplified. You guys, give me just a few more minutes. Amen? And let, that means we have a choice in it. And let the peace, the soul harmony, the mind, the will, and emotions, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in my life. Peace. In your hearts, deciding and settling what finality, all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were all so called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God sometimes. Always. Amen. a lack of peace in our hearts is a warning sign we should heed. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. That's His job. He is the revealer of the truth. He brings truth to our life. Yielding to the Spirit means allowing Him to lead us. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Romans 8:14. The Holy Spirit brings to mind the things that we may have forgotten. He brings Scripture to our remembrance. He settles us in peace. Amen. The Bible says He is our comforter. He settles us down in peace. Shalom. Nothing lacking, nothing broken, complete peace. That's where God wants you. If you're watching this today, God wants you in shalom peace out there. Amen. God wants you in shalom peace in here. Walking in that peace. Hallelujah. Listening to God with our hearts allows us to sense when a message is not from Him and when a message is from Him. And we line that up with the peace of God that we have and walk in. Amen? Thank you, baby. I heard that baby back there. Out of the mouth of babes, right? Amen, Jesus. Thank you for that heart. I love that, Jesus. Amen? If there's no peace in our hearts regarding a decision we are considering, we should refrain from making that decision. Don't make it out of the flesh. The flesh will tell you, hurry, make that decision. Do it right now. Go to a car dealer, that's what they'll say. Right now, today's the day. We're having a big sale today. Let me tell you, they have a big sale every day. Just like a furniture store. We're going out of business. Well, they've been doing that for 10 years. They do it every day. They're going out of business every day. They base it on emotional buying. People get more trouble out of emotional buying than anything else. I got to have it. Want it? Advertisers, all the advertisers. So don't make a decision out of emotional needs or wants. Make it out of peace of God in your life. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit get out in front of you. Not behind you, but out in front of you. Let Him get out in front of you, helping you make decisions. What do I mean by that? When you're making a decision, the first thing you go to is God's Word. First thing you receive is that revelation. God, this is what I have peace on this. Then you take it to Him and say, thank you, Lord. I have the peace of God on this. I do. Then you walk in that peace that you have. Amen. If you take it to Him and there's not the peace of God on that, then you just reject it and you walk away and say, not right now. Amen. How many has ever watched Pawn Stars? Anybody ever watched that show, Pawn Stars? It's one of my favorite shows. I love buying and selling. I love that stuff. I enjoy it. And I watch it at times when they come in with an item and you think, wow, he is going to buy that. He really likes it. He really thinks he's going to buy that item. And all of a sudden, they start this little negotiation, and it gets higher than he wants to purchase. And he automatically says, no, can't do it. Can't go there. Sorry. Have a good day. Thank you for coming in. He has trained himself not to be an emotional person when it comes to buying. Let's train ourselves not to be an emotional person when it comes to making decisions. Amen? Let's be led by the Spirit in peace and by His Word, amen? And let's enjoy everything God's given to us. Let's stand this morning, give God some praise. Amen? Come on, church. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, we're going to make a confession this morning. We love to end with confessing because confessing brings possessing. Amen? So we confess God's Word. We believe in what we say. We thank God for it. Amen? So let's just lift our arms this morning, just a few minutes today. If you're here today and you haven't come to the full understanding of Christ, right now just receive Him by this revelation word that God loves you. He's always loved you. He's always cared about you. He's got a great plan for your life. Open up your heart. If you're watching by TV this morning, amen, or over Facebook Live, open up your heart today. Receive God into your life. He's right there with you. He'll never leave or forsake you today. Just say, thank you, Lord, come into my life. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I receive you today, and I make you the Lord of my life. Amen. Let's make a few confessions this morning. Hold up your hands. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your wisdom operating in my life. I praise you for that. I have the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God from the Word of God. I know what to do and when to do it. Thank you, God, for the peace that rules my heart and rules my life today. I speak peace over every area of my life today, over every family member, over every child, every grandchild, everyone in my family. I speak the shalom peace of God in the life today. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Let's give God a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Turn around, find somebody, give them a virtual high five, and tell them God is a good God. Amen.